Hey, Chris, I think this room will work.
All right.
There's nobody in here. I think we can record the episode real quick. Hey, I bought this little voice modulator to use for the intro. So I thought I want to try it. You want to check it out?
Yeah. I mean, wouldn't be a party without a voice modulator.
Well, you know, like for the movie, but it's kind of like that. It's not exactly the same, but I'm going to try it out. So, all right, here we go. All right, start of the podcast.
The countdown is on to murder. Because we just watched New Year's Evil. And it's time to slam down and get evil on B-Movie Mania.
Quick takes!
I got one, too. I grabbed it from Mr. Crumb's party.
Oh, cool. Passing those things out. I was... That's
it's
yeah, I,
great and evil.
Yeah, here, wait. I'm gonna try it again here.
Welcome to B-Movie Mania. Call me Evil Jason Hulse. And I am here with... Evil Chris Hudson.
Hey, everybody. So you may have heard we're at a New Year's Eve party, and we just thought we'd pop into this room real quick, record this little quick take. The party's actually put on by Crumb's Crunchy Delights. They're sponsoring the party.
Yeah. That's all I was told. It's a great party. The food is fantastic.
It's amazing. It's really great. Kind of looks the same, but it tastes really great.
It's the best. It's probably
and there's
the
a lot of people here.
Had. Tons of people.
Yeah. It's amazing. But anyway, so the movie we watched, we wanted to do the New Year's theme, I picked New Year's Evil.
Wait, Jay, New Year's
and,
Evil.
And thanks for joining me on this.
New Year's Evil.
That's the one. Yeah. So this being a quick take, we're just going to sort of gloss over, you know, some of it and share some thoughts. So what were some of your broad impressions?
Well, before we start, I want to say, I think this is probably our first Canon Group film that we've covered, right? I don't remember doing it.
Yeah, it's the Golem and or Globus.
Golem and Globus.
I've had a little bit of champagne at the Crumb's Crunchy Delight party. Is it actually Canon Group?
Yeah, it said Canon Group. Yeah, it said Canon Group right up the front. I'm like, my first note is, oh shit, it's a Canon Group film.
So it's gonna be good.
Oh hell yeah.
But, you know, overall, I thought this was a pretty fun movie.
It was fun.
Right? I mean, what'd you think?
Yeah, I mean, it was fun. This is from, 1980 or 81 or something, and kind of early on in the slasher film genre, and a lot of the motivations are left unsaid. But you get a creepy mask. You don't really get a lot of gore, but... I thought it was interesting. It was an interesting early attempt, I thought.
It's watchable.
Yeah, it's watchable. I think I would love to see a remake of it today, because I think it could really, because there were parts where I couldn't, they were really trying to be scary in parts and it didn't quite come off, but there were other parts that they could have just played for laughs but really didn't. And it just, like the evil thing, they could have totally played with that some more. And
yes, we will explain what that is.
So I think it just came a little too early in the genre to really make the most of what it could have been. So I think there's some untapped potential. Some evil left on the table, if you will.
Totally agree. And the concept is the main character's name is Dee, and she is like a VJ, kind of like an MTV VJ in the 80s. And she's putting on a New Year's Eve show, which is called
New Year's Evil. Not evil, but New Year's Evil.
Right. New Year's Evil. And so it's like a countdown show, and it's being broadcast across the United States.
Wait, what was the VJ's name? I totally didn't get it.
Dee.
D. Okay, because I thought at first it was Gladys and then Blaze.
Oh, Blaze. She's called Blaze.
Okay,
yeah,
I had no idea what the hell her name was through the entire time.
Yeah, yeah. Her VJ name is Blaze, so we can call her that.
Okay, right.
So she is broadcasting across the United States, and a killer calls in with a voice modulator, which is why we have these fun voice modulators.
Call me evil, just evil.
And says he's going to kill someone every time it strikes midnight in a different time zone.
I'm going to commit murder.
And I don't think he ever says it's going to culminate with her death, does it?
No.
He says he's going to kill someone close to her.
He just says someone close to her, yeah.
Yeah.
So she's not necessarily the target, which, I mean, come on, she's totally the target. But you don't really know that until the very end. After the shocking twist.
Yes, which, you know, I mean, I think you can see coming, but was still decent. One thing I liked about the movie is that the movie spends a lot of time with the killer. It's not just like people are dying and you
don't see. One thing I wanted to talk about is that really this movie is about the killer. We follow him. Like, you see his face, like, from right off. You know, you don't know who he is. You don't know what the relationship is to this Blaze lady. But you follow him as he's tracking his prey. And the first of which is, well, okay, I guess the first one, which you kind of figure was him, but you don't really see him up front, is some lady at the hotel where the party's going on who has a problem with a leaky faucet. And I'm telling you, killers love to hide in your tub and turn the faucet on just enough to piss you off.
Well, and I don't understand how that happened, because this woman is in the bathroom getting ready. Then she shuts off the leaky faucet, and then there's a knock at her door.
Yeah, he doesn't kill her the first time she turns off the leaking faucet. And then she goes.
So she goes and answers the door, and then there's nobody there. And she goes back, and the leaky faucet's happening again. And then she's drug into the tub. So I don't know how the killer got to her front door, knocked on it, and got accept. It makes no sense.
Like, at this point, I was just kind of wondering, like, is this a supernatural New Year's evil?
Yeah.
I don't know, because he could have been a ghost, but now the killer was in her tub the whole time.
Right. And that was a friend of Blaze, we find out.
Yes. but not so much.
The movie is chock full of sort of 80s punk rock caricatures.
Oh, yeah.
Which is amazing.
Which, when they're dancing, I love the Foley work on the dance scenes. It's like you've got this band playing. Yeah, the moshing. You got the band playing on the stage, and the music was actually pretty good, I thought. I'm pretty sure I've heard the New Year's Evil song somewhere before. That sounded really familiar.
We'll post that on our YouTube page. We'll link to that.
But there were like four or five songs that were, you know, decent enough for if you're into that kind of music. And then you've got all the punks all like moshing and dancing and slamming into each other. But you don't, all you hear is like shuffling shoes. But it was multiple scene after scene of just, shuffling shoes. Why not? That's what happens on the dance floor.
Yeah. We also meet Derek, who is Blaze's son, and the relationship between them is not good.
No, well, I got to talk about the style real quick. He's wearing tails with jeans. So it's a nice mix of very, very fine, like, I'm going to the opera tonight. That's a punk opera with my jeans.
Yep. Yep.
And later on, he gets some, like, red pantyhose or something, and he's pilling it up.
Oh, yeah. He's weird.
Yeah.
He is weird. We're going to talk about Derek. But Derek gets a role on Spaceship America, and his mom doesn't care. Let's get to the first kill. Let's talk about who dies.
The slutty nurse.
Yes, and you know who that nurse is?
Oh, yeah. She was in Death Race 2000. She wasn't VA Gina, was she? I thought she was someone else.
No, that's not what I was referring to. So Death Race is news to me. She was in Galaxy of Terror.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I wrote that down, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. In that scene.
Oh, she was the space rape scene.
The slug.
That was
her.
Oh, God.
So she is a nurse in a mental hospital, and she is the first one to die after our very charismatic killer he sort of seduces her.
Yeah, you might go into this thinking that she could have easily, if her stranger danger sense was going off, she would have she fell for all the classic tropes. But if you've seen what our killer looks like, there's no way she could not be seduced by him. I mean, he's got the champagne, he says he's a doctor, he's got her in a room, he's playing some music, and I'm telling you, clothes come off. She's known this guy like 5 minutes. Which, I gotta say one thing real quick, though, before we get too into the kills, is that every single kill in this movie is just a stroke of incredible luck for this guy. All his plans except one work flawlessly, and it takes a biker gang to really disrupt his plans.
He gets her alone, and then as you know, things are heating up, and as midnight strikes, he records it and stabs her. I mean, that's kind of his plan. He's going to record this on a tape, and then he calls Blaze and plays it to prove that he's serious.
Yeah.
He is serious. That's killer one. The next kill, he puts on a pretty sweet fake mustache.
Oh, man, he's swinging.
I thought the guy looked like an older Chris Klein.
Yeah, I can see that, yeah.
Can you see it?
I can see that, yeah.
So maybe totally. In the remake, you could get Chris Klein to play that role. That'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So
I have to be clear, though. The nurse was the Eastern time zone midnight victim. Now he's at the swingers club to get his CSTLOL murder.
Can I set this up for you?
Oh, yeah.
So, Chris, evil walks into a bar. What happens?
He puts on a fake mustache and is swinging his jacket and sees a pretty lady by the bar. He buys her a drink,
yep.
And she says, okay, I'll go to this producer's party with you, because swinging killer, swinging evil.
Not just a producer's party, it's Eric Estrada's party.
Oh, that's right, yeah, Eric Estrada's party. And come on, what lady would not fall for that? I mean, I would go to Eric Estrada's party.
And the twist comes when her friend shows up, right?
Yeah.
Like the friend isn't supposed to be there.
Yep, and... this woman ready to go to the Eric Estrada party, at least she has a little more sense than the nurse had, because she's not going anywhere alone with a stranger. I mean, come on, that's the dumbest thing you could possibly do.
Yeah, and I kind of like that you get to see what happens when the kills don't go off perfectly.
Yeah.
You know, because you can see he's getting annoyed with these women.
It's getting really close to midnight Central Time, and the girls are just talking and talking and talking, and he's like in the car like, gotta get this girl alone, gotta get her alone.
Yep. And so we, well, in the all the yapping, we do understand that transcendental meditation can cure nervous diarrhea, by the way.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna give that a try.
Lisa got rid of her nervous diarrhea.
You might need it.
this is probably my favorite kill, though.
Yeah. So he goes, this is so crazy, like, he sends the friend to get into a liquor store to get champagne and starts talking about how he has good weed.
Oh, yeah.
And he wants to show the original date girl. He wants to show her.
Now that they're finally alone.
Yeah, they're alone. So I'm going to take this one, and then you can take the next one.
Is that they're fair? Both great.
Okay, so So he shows her the weed and then suddenly just puts this bag of weed over her head.
It's a giant bag of weed. It's like a plastic bag. It goes right over her head.
And suffocates her to death. So then the friend, Lisa, comes out of the store and the cars are gone.
Yeah. Well, this is great. Well, to really set the scene here, we got to go back to the nurse's death where they discover the body. Like, he'll call in or whatever and tell the police, like, hey, the body's here, blah, 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 blah. And you see the people discovering the nurse and what evil did to the nurse. So the roommate comes out. What was her name? Lisa?
Lisa.
So, yeah, Lisa. So Lisa comes out. Car's gone. Where the hell did they go? Oh, but then he sees, like, what was it, like a sock or something or some piece of clothing that belonged to her roommate. So, and it leads right up to a dumpster. So I'm thinking, she's going to find her roommate and freak out. She lifts open the dumpster lid. Rah! It's evil! He gets her too.
Evil is hiding in the dumpster.
It's like two for the price
of
one.
Great.
Amazing.
And so he gets in. Okay, so we're gonna zip a little bit. Evil is then driving. He's dressing like a priest.
Yeah, because his next target is a nun.
Yeah, his next target's a nun. And then he accidentally rear-ends some bikers, and that sets off a whole big thing.
Oh, my God.
The bikers do not leave him alone.
Jay.
Which is another good thing, seeing the complications for the killers.
Yeah, this is great. But I gotta say, I am a man of God, not a man of violence.
Man of God, not a man of violence.
He's not gonna get into a fight with, like, 12 bikers.
Right, he just runs. So he abandons the car, and he goes to a drive-in movie theater and interrupts this dude who is groping his girlfriend in the backseat and steals the car with her in it.
Yeah,
as the bikers are chasing him.
I genuinely felt bad for the girl because she's out for a good time with her boyfriend. She did nothing wrong. Completely wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah, and so there is a little cross-cutting happening where the cops find the other two women in the park.
I gotta say, he set up the bodies perfectly for the cop to check out the slide. And then the body slides down the slide in the playground.
Right, scares the cops. The other one's like stuck in the rings that you hold on to swing on.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And so this poor girl in the back of the car, who was out for a good time, she is pretty much willing to do whatever she has to survive.
Oh, yeah.
But
she makes that clear.
She gets an opportunity to run, and I was happy about that.
Oh, but Evil is in hot pursuit.
Baseball diamond, right?
Yeah, she hides underneath like some
little dugout building.
Yeah, yeah.
And so as luck would have it, as he's about to find her, the cops show up looking around, and he has to run, and the girl lives.
Yep.
Very pleased with that.
I was happy to see that. But he missed his mountain time victim.
Which they didn't really highlight too much.
He's got to skip right over mountain and straight into the Pacific time.
Which we really haven't talked too much about Blaze.
Yeah.
Like, because it really does follow the killer most of the time.
Yeah.
Blaze is talking to the police. The police are all over this. They've locked down the entire hotel where the party's taking place. Nobody's even coming in or out of the party room.
They have locked it down.
They're trying to get Blaze to keep the killer on the phone so that they can try to track her. So they're trying to put together an investigation to see what's happening, but everything seems kind of random, you know, so the killer's just running around doing whatever he wants. Yep. But now the killer is at the hotel. He needs to get in.
Yep, he's still,
into the hotel.
And I really liked how he got in because, like, there's no way, like, they're turning people away at the door. Nobody's in or out. Everyone's stuck in there. But Evil comes in. He's still wearing his priest duds. But he goes into the parking garage and... the doorway at the parking garage is guarded by another policeman. So he hides behind, like, a corner and he yells at the cop, "Hey, I think I found a drunk." So, of course, the cop who has to stand guard decides, I got to go see this drunk. Gets his head smashed in with a brick. And now Evil has traded in his priest duds for cop duds.
And at this point, I felt like I was watching a cinematic version of Hitman. I don't know if you ever played Hitman, but the whole thing is taking people's costumes, sneaking in somewhere so you can kill someone. So it just felt very much like Hitman.
Yeah, and also in between all this, we kind of do sometimes cut back to Derek, the son, and he's popping some pills and wearing some red pantyhose, and he looks coked out as
on his head.
Yeah, I should say the pantyhose is on his head, where you would expect it to be at a punk rock
he's
party.
Spying on his mom while she's talking to the police.
And you can
he's
tell
just he's acting like a total weirdo.
Yeah, but he's just really depressed because he got this great, like you said, he got this great role in Spaceship America. And he's excited about it, but his mom could give two shits.
Right, because she's very self-centered. That's her character's flaw. And so now, okay, here it comes. Big reveal, folks.
Evil,
if you don't want any more spoilers...
Stop it here.
Evil is in the building. Then he's in the room with Blaze.
Yeah.
And he's wearing a very weird, stylized Richard Nixon mask.
Oh, is that what that was?
And
I had no idea what that was.
I mean, that's what I assumed it was, and then I saw that in a couple other reviews.
Ah,
so we're going to go with that.
Creepy Nixon.
He takes off Creepy Nixon mask, and Blaze recognizes him as her husband.
Ooh, dun, dun, dun.
Yes, the only reference to him, to the husband earlier was that they were like, oh, he's in Palm Springs, probably getting drunk and doing drugs.
You think he's a deadbeat dad, but no, he's really just a kill-people-dead dad.
Nice. Very nice. It was a good joke.
So I just want to say that the 80s was a hard time for people with mental illness, because we find out the dad's connection to the killing the nurse was he was in that sanitarium for some reason. And I don't know why he killed the other people, because they don't really make that clear, but...
Right! That's the thing I was going to say. Like, in his initial phone call, he says he's going to kill... Like, the whole idea is he's going to kill people close to Blaze.
Mm-hmm.
None of the people are close to her. They're all random people.
Except for the very first one. She was Blaze's friend. But yeah,
well,
it's all...
Margin. Well, okay, right. He did kill her friend first.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
The faucet lady, so...
Yeah, faucet lady. Nothing else made sense.
No.
In terms of what he said in the phone call. But whatever. I mean, it's okay.
I think it really comes down to just he just hates women. Like a lot of serial killers.
He does confess. Like, yeah. They find out pretty quickly. I mean, the cops... When the cops ask the husband, how did you get in here? He said the manager okayed it, like Blaze's manager. So the cops ask Blaze's manager, and he's like, the hell I did. He's like, I didn't do that. And so then they know something's up, but by that time, he's revealed his intentions to Blaze and plans to kill her.
And in a really a new one that I don't think I've ever seen, but death by elevator.
Yes. Now, is it efficient?
No.
Is it unique?
Yes.
I did enjoy that. He has complete control of the elevator, it seems, by sticking a screwdriver into the like inner workings of the elevator, which he seems to know how to control, and he handcuffs her to the bottom of it.
And, you know, I really appreciate it because you think at this point, you know, just any old regular serial killer would just send the elevator plummeting down, however, 12 stories down, crushing her through, killing her through both the fall and the crush, you know, of the... elevator. Mm-hmm. But no, he sends her all the way up.
Right.
Where, one, that will kill her a lot more dead than just 12 stories up. But two, you find out that Evil has took the time to take the original victims,
faucet
like the one with the faucet, faucet lady. Like, did he just take her face off or something, like skinned her and just put her head or her face or something in the elevator shaft at the very top? So when the elevator goes up, she sees, like, the remaining bit of her best friend, and then she just descends down.
Right.
She's gonna... Yeah, that's it.
One other thing I find kind of funny as in this whole scene where he's gonna decide to kill his wife is that he talks also about how he's angry. He doesn't like women, and he specifically doesn't like his wife. He thinks that, you know, she's self-centered and manipulative and doesn't pay any attention to the son. He knows about Spaceship America, and he knows that she didn't care. So he says...
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to the Rose Bowl game with my boy.
Just random. Yeah. He's such a random thing.
Great, you know, he might be a misogynist, but he's a great dad.
He is. And that's going to carry through all the way to the end.
Now, I want to say, if I were to make this movie now, I mean, not only would I kind of heighten the comedy and maybe bring up the gore a little bit, but they find him and the cops are chasing him. And there's a little chase into the stairwell as Evil goes up to the roof.
Right. Well, Blaze, though, does get free, though, somehow.
Oh,
right?
She does get free.
The cops help her get free, right? He puts the Richard Nixon mask back on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he quotes Hamlet, I believe.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. So he was probably an actor. That's why he was able to pull off those roles so well.
Well, it's
you know, I totally bought him as a priest and a swinger.
It's
and the doctor.
LA, you know, everyone is out there.
Exactly.
So he jumps off the building and kills himself. Blaze does live,
but she's traumatized by the whole thing.
Now, here's one of my biggest questions of the film. Was Derek in on this the whole time? Did he know what his dad was doing?
I'm going to say, you know, that's tough. My heart tells me no, that this, you know, but Evil was such a good dad. It could have just been some great father-son bonding.
Well, and because there's one thing, like Derek, when after Evil jumps off the roof and dies, Derek is on the scene. He runs up to him.
He is.
Knowing that it's his dad. Like, there's never a revelation. There's never a reveal like, hey, Derek, your dad is your dad. He just knew it was his dad.
Well, he swipes the mask. He swipes the mask,
and he looks mad at his mom.
Yeah. So you just think this really was just a little bit of New Year's evil bonding. It's a very heartwarming story.
Dee goes into, or Blaze goes into the ambulance, right? She's unconscious. It's been very difficult for her. And the EMT says, okay, we're ready to go. Chris, who's driving?
Oh my God, Derek is driving and he's got the mask on.
And that's the end.
That's the end. Now, okay, here's another question though. I want to see what you think of this.
Yeah.
If Derek is indeed in on his father's plan, he would know that his father's killing people at, you know, midnight as they go through different time zones, you know, the new year, like the first murder victim of the year or whatever. Do you think he waited till midnight in Hawaii to kill his mom?
I do. But, oh, dude, all right. Dude, wait a minute. Hold on. Check this out. Something. Right. I'm getting goosebumps. Something just hit me. I was wondering about the first murder, how the killer got around. Mm-hmm. I think Evil was in the tub. Derek is the one who knocked on the front door and ran away.
Oh, hey, there we go. Could have been.
Because I do think that there is a shot when she looks out into the hallway where way in the distance somebody's running. I'd have to go back and watch the movie again. But
they were
so
in
I
cahoots.
Think he knocked on the door to get her out and then
wow.
That makes sense.
That makes total sense now. Yeah, you know what? My score for this movie just went up.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get to that. Let's see what happens because we still got a party going on, and
woohoo!
And it's going to be the ball's going to drop here pretty soon at the Crumbs Crunchy Delight party.
And I'm getting a little hungry, and I want some more of that delicious food.
Okay, so let's do rating time.
Rating time.
All right. What are we rating these in?
We are going to rate this movie in New Year's resolutions.
New Year's. Oh, fantastic! Very fitting. I think we pretty much covered everything talking about this movie. I think it was overall enjoyable. There weren't really many slow parts that I found myself wandering. I was into this movie the whole time. I like how they presented it from the point of view of Evil, the killer. Mm-hmm. That was pretty cool. And I liked the music. The music was interesting and fun, if you're into that sort of thing. But I think there were a lot of missed opportunities. I think they could have made this a little funnier, a little more gory, but hey, this was early days in the genre, I guess. So, I'm going to give this, I'm going to make 65 New Year's resolutions.
Okay. I'd say that's fair.
You know, it was fun, not great. You know, there were better movies, but, it's worth your time.
Yeah. For me, I agree with a lot of that. I would say it's a good movie. Like if you're home and it's late night and you just kind of want to have something on that's kind of that horror genre, and you need something. It's like easy listening music. It's like an easy watching movie. You know, it's not going to challenge you a whole lot, but it's fun and the pacing is good. I'm going to go 73 New Year's resolutions. Yeah. And speaking of New Year's resolutions, Chris, I was wondering if you had any.
New Year's resolution.
You know, I do. I think I mentioned to you the other day that I went out with my girlfriend and one of her cousins, and we met up for some drinks and dinner, and I had some margaritas.
Oh, the margs.
And the margs. I had, and they were pretty strong margs, let me tell you. And then afterwards, we went over to another friend's house, and had a couple more drinks there, and that's when I felt I all that Mexican food and the margs started coming up. So the puking came early and often, and I did not get out of bed the next day till about 3 in the afternoon. I was so
It was, dude.
It was a rough day. I mean, dry heaves and everything. I mean, I was laid out in bed trying to sleep the whole time.
For the listeners out there, we are not in our 20s either. So
No. I cannot drink like that. As old as I am now, or I shouldn't, but my body just can't handle that anymore. So I think for my New Year's resolution, I never want to feel like that again. So I think what I have to do is drink even more margs, drink every marg I can get my hands on, so my body becomes used to this feeling, and there are no more hangovers, no more sleeping into bed till 3 in the morning. Just give me all the margs you got, and I'm going to drink them all.
Send
that
margs.
That is my New Year's resolution. Send margs.
Awesome.
How about you, Jay? What's your? You have any resolutions before we get back to the party?
I do, actually. You see, you know, the other day, a little while back, we were at a holiday potluck at work, and we were playing one of those Jackbox games, you know, where like you can answer trivia, yeah. and some of them like you log in with your phone and you like draw pictures and people have to guess what it is and stuff. So
loads of fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. So we did that, and so my entire department is there looking at this TV, and the category I got was NSFW, not safe for work.
Oh boy.
So I had to draw something specifically.
And you're at work.
Yes, I'm at work, and I have to draw something specifically that is not safe for work. So I said to my bosses, I said, you know, I'm not responsible for what's about to happen here. And people just kind of said, well, just do it, whatever it is. And so I drew a giant penis and balls for
nice.
The entire department.
Nice. So you're going to keep that tradition?
No, actually, my New Year's resolution
dick
is
and
to
balls
not,
everywhere.
Not draw any more not safe for work images for my coworkers. That's my New Year's resolution.
All right. You know, that sounds like one of those resolutions you keep for like 2 weeks, and then you kind of give up. Dick and balls
yeah.
everywhere.
It'll
don't disappoint
be,
me, Jay.
I won't last 2 weeks. It'll be on everybody's no. computer.
Everybody.
So,
yeah.
well, you know, okay. Everybody, I appreciate you guys listening and joining us here. I think we're going to get back to the party. But, you know, Chris,
yeah,
it sounds a little quiet, doesn't it? Yeah, it's almost
midnight.
Yeah, I don't
yeah.
hear anything.
It's almost right. eerie. You'd think there'd be music blowing. You know, there are people with their little horns and party hats.
Yeah.
Why don't we go out and check out, see what's going on. And at the least, I need another handful of that goop. It was so
yeah, I'd
good.
Like to get some more of that green goop. That really was really good. Good. All right, let's open this door here. Let's.
Huh.
Where is everybody?
Did we miss there's, something?
I mean, there's like 15 more vats of this ooze, but.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember the caterers having this much goop anywhere.
There's literally nobody here.
I mean, it smells good.
That smells great, yeah.
I'm going to give this
well,
a little
maybe try. They're outside. Maybe, can you check? Go check out, maybe check
yeah,
the window?
Yeah, let me check out that. Jay, you might want to take a look at this.
space?
We're on another spaceship. How does this happen? Why does this always happen to us?
What is this, like the third time?
I think it is. I think it's the third time. you're not going to like this either, but I went for another handful of this goop, and I found a finger.
In it?
Does this look like anyone you recognize?
Oh, man.
I don't. I think green goop is made of people, Jay.
Oh.
It's made of people.
My God.
Oh, Crumbs Crunchy Delights.
No. Crumbs Crunchy Delights is a proud sponsor of B-Movie Mania. Our secret is in Reg's 11 herbs and spices, and ingredients so fresh, you'll swear they were harvested from your very own planet.
Happy New Year to you.
She hot, she, where's she, where's she,